The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Well, we thank you for getting up with us on ESPN. And tonight, during the NFL Wild Card, which you will see here, tune in for the world trailer premiere of the all-new Marvel Studios original series Moon Knight, which is coming soon to Disney+. We also have a really good Big 12 ACC Super Tuesday doubleheader for you this week. Number 9, Kansas, taking on Oklahoma, 7 Eastern. Then number 8, Duke, squares off against Florida State. Both those games are on ESPN and the app. One app, one tap. Well, Stephen A. is coming back this morning, and in case you're wondering how he reacted to the Cowboys last night, enjoy.
Didn't I tell you? All year long, where everybody was raving about those boys in Big D. What did your boy Stephen A. say? They ain't gonna even win a playoff game. And sure enough, right on schedule, right when it really, really count, they crashed.
it's good so to see true. Stephen A. back.
But yeah.
The fact that he's been out for about a month and back today.
Yes.
And the Cowboys' loss proves that there is a God and there is a devil. There's no way that that's not perfect for Stephen A.
So Stephen A. in an hour. Ryan Terry Clark. As we welcome you back to our second hour here, coming to you live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck. We're at Pier 17. Let's go. Game of the night. Finish of the year and maybe longer than that. Niners, Cowboys, this was unreal. Think folks were excited to get into this one. Dan, take a look, start your engines as the doors would open. Let's go third quarter now. Cowboys down 16-7. And Dak, who had, for the most part, a tough day yesterday, this was his worst moment.
Greedy, not seeing the field well and then forcing the football. This ball against Dak, four push should go to the perimeter either side all day. A nickel like Williams is going to pick it off when you force it inside every time.
I'll correct myself. Second worst moment. And next play now, Niners, Debo.
Watch the vision on the cutback. Defense overflows. Good job on that zone scheme. And then the burst. Those two defenders have no chance to catch him because he's so fast to get the top speed.
So the Niners are up 23-7. We got memes in the stands. Fourth quarter now. Fourth and five. Cowboys, they're punting. Or are they? Sneaky Dallas, Dan.
I love the play call. That Gunner does an awesome job of getting that 49ers defender to fall off. This is a great conversion, but watch the confusion on the sideline. Look at the coach being like, no one knows what they're doing. Is the special team staying out there? Is the offense getting on? Being unprepared for the moment, again, was a precursor for the Cowboys.
Yeah, Rex, it's going to wind up in a delay of game penalty.
Yeah, that's a shock. 14 penalties for Dallas.
Yeah, that was just a crazy little sequence. So that's frustrating, and of course it is a harbinger of things to come. So let's go now. Fourth quarter, Cowboys 23-10. This is a big mistake.
Don't do it. The only thing you can't do, Dallas has no life. You get the pressure, you get outside the pocket to the right, the ball sails on you, and Dallas, who had nothing going for them, now has an opportunity.
Yeah, Jimmy G, the crippling interception, which has been his problem, and then Dak cashes it in.
Yeah, good job by Dak Prescott not hesitating. The offensive line collapses the left side. He doesn't wait, goes and scores a much-needed touchdown.
23-17, and then it gets crazy. 4.5 to go. Garoppolo, that's incomplete, but wait, there's a flag on the play.
It's an easy call. I mean, it's the right call. There's no debate if you're a Cowboys fan. That hand is up into that face mask. Easy call.
Extends the drive, so Garoppolo, now Samuel underneath. He makes the tackle short of the first down, does Leighton Vander Esch. So the Cowboys are going to get it back. Here we go, under 2 minutes to go. 4th and 11 near midfield with 3 timeouts left. They go for it. Dan, did you like that decision?
I think it's the right decision to go for it, yes. I don't like the fact that they're not ready for the pressure that San Francisco brings. They get an unblocked safety right up the middle of the protection. Dak tries to make a hero play. Nothing available downfield. She's heartbroken.
More memes in the stands. Ensuing drive for the Niners. Samuel going to be tackled for no gain. But Rex, we got another flag on the play. This is defensive holding.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great tackle by Gregory over there. Unfortunately, he doesn't have the ball in. What the hell are you doing?
It's a blatant penalty, so that extends the drive. And then here's the game.
Yeah.
If Deebo Samuel, no timeouts left. If this is a first down, the game is over. And it's a first down, and the game is over. But wait a minute. We need to measure. Don't move so fast. Don't wave goodbye yet, Dan. He's short.
I like the fact that they got this call right. Deebo Samuel is obviously short, and it forced Kyle Shanahan. Is he going to be aggressive and go for it or punt the football away? He decides to kick the football away as they end up just 2 or 3 inches short.
Which would give the Cowboys one more chance. At their own 20 with 30 seconds left, the first play was great.
Yeah, you're always looking to start from your two-minute drive with a completion or a chunk. This is a nice job. You throw the in route, CeeDee Lamb follows. You toss it back to him. Then you get the out route to Dalton Schultz. A completion, chunk yardage, and he gets out of bounds to stop the clock.
And thus, look where the time is. There's 14 seconds. Rex said you need 16 to be safe executing this play. You've seen it. Dak takes off, gives himself up, maybe could have done that a little more quickly, and then here's the confusion. The official must touch the football. Ramon George, the umpire, has to spot the ball. That's not a new rule. It's been in place since the game was invented, and as a result, the clock strikes midnight. The Cowboys, in the biggest moment of their season, turn into a pumpkin, and just like that, it's over. The fans can't believe it. I don't even know if the 49ers can believe
Jimmy
the way
D
that
does.
Thing ended. I still can't believe the way
it's
it ended.
House.
Devastation in Big D. The Cowboys are going home.
Made the call knowing that we've got it. We're going to get some yards and then get down and got to clock it. Knowing that situation, something we've practiced over and over again. Went, got some yards, went down. As I was getting behind Tyler, saw 4 seconds left. Thought it was time, obviously, to make sure everybody was set. And then honestly just got hit from behind. And then still there. When I gathered myself, saw 2 seconds and thought I could get the snap and get it down before time expired. And unsure exactly what happened other than that.
It's like anything else. Do you want to be running a Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running 5 verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision. It's just like anything. It's, you know, the execution between us and the officiating spotting the ball obviously wasn't, we shouldn't have had any problem getting the ball spotted there. Just if that's, is that the quote you're looking for?
So they're blaming the officials. Yeah. We've been talking about it all morning. We've not had RC in the conversation, so let's get him get in there. The first and foremost, RC, because you know what happens. Twitter goes crazy. Oh, the officials are the reason. Yeah. What did you see on that last play? Did you see the officials getting anything wrong?
Well, the officials didn't get anything wrong. The official was trying to do his job. Now, he wasn't hustling the way the official hustled in San Francisco when they were playing Green Bay and they had to spot the ball for Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, that dude's going to be the MVP. And honestly, the call isn't a bad call. You just have to know how much time you have left in the game. With 14 seconds, you're probably not going to get that play ran and get the ball spiked. And I've heard I've heard Rex Ryan said, everybody say, Jeff Saturday last night, 16 seconds is the minimum you want to try to run a play in that manner. And so if all these people know it, right? All of these folks who are doing TV now, obviously nobody's letting Rex call defenses anymore or be a head coach. He should be the guy in Dallas because at least he understands the play clock. He understands how to manage the game. If this was Bill Belichick, I'd have nothing to say, right? If this was Mike Tomlin, I have nothing to say. John Harbaugh, some of these guys who we believe do a good job of clock management and game management. But Mike McCarthy has not the entire year. I told y'all about week 2 of the season that Mike McCarthy is the worst coach on the Dallas Cowboys team. I told y'all at the beginning of the season, Mike McCarthy and game management will cost the Dallas Cowboys a win at a critical moment. And as much as I have done the dance that I'm right on Get Up on Monday morning, I'm not going to do it now because it's sad that Mike McCarthy, who I knew was going to cost this team a game, obviously Jerry Jones didn't know that, and now the Dallas Cowboys are home, and we got to figure out something else to start the show with next week.
Yeah, we'll worry about that later. Don't even remind me. But Rex, I was writing the words down as Dak was talking there. We've practiced that over and over again. I looked up at 4 seconds. We had time to get everyone set. It's not clear, and again, we're just showing snippets of it. It's not clear. He's not saying there that what was missing was the umpire has to spot the ball. And if you think about it, it makes sense for anyone sitting at home thinking, why does the umpire have to touch the ball? Because the team can't just decide where the ball is spotted. Right. You don't get to decide that.
Right. Correct.
The umpire has to spot the football first, and Dak does not seem to acknowledge that in his comment.
Yeah, absolutely. The officials did a great job. I mean, they really did. The whole game, I thought.
And to me, the man's trying to do his job. He has to spot the ball. And that's where Dak should have given the official the football, period. In the conversation. The other thing is this. He said, there's 14 seconds left. Dak said, we're going to spike the ball. Well, you better have 16 seconds if you plan on spiking the football. If it's under that, then you need to have it snap to you and run your last play.
You don't have time. Let's underline that thought. What you're saying is instead of running up there to spike it, you're saying they should have been running up there to get the ball snapped and run the final play.
That's exactly right. And Dan talked about it earlier. Mm-hmm. It's a terrific point because absolutely, that's why you need 16 seconds, not 14 seconds.
When I watch the final play happen, two quotes that I love to kind of live by, teach my kids all the time, is you don't rise to the level of expectation. You fall to the level of training. There's no way that the Cowboys look like they were prepared and trained for that moment. And then practice until you can't get it wrong, not until you get it right. So again, the Cowboys looked like they practiced that play, yes, but in ideal settings, in ideal situations, not into worst case scenario situations or what happens if it doesn't go exactly the way it goes on a Friday at the Star when we're all in t-shirts and shorts and the officials right there, we all just have a ball cap on and not a helmet, and the moment just becomes so big. This was a lack of execution by players. It was lack of preparation and teaching by the coaching staff. There is no way around it. I like Mike McCarthy. I love Kellen Moore. I'm a huge fan of Dak Prescott, the human being. You cannot sit there and blame those officials for your inability to operate in that moment. You get paid a lot of money. The offseason starts in February. You spend the whole offseason preparing for those one-in-a-season situations. You practice them 500 times, and you never get to them until you need to get to them. And you look like you weren't ready for the moment. Don't blame the officials. Look in the mirror and say, we weren't good enough again.
Go ahead, RC.
No, I just think when you look at the failure of the Dallas Cowboys, the reason that it's so troubling is because of the promise they showed early on in the season. This isn't one of those things where we came into the season and we looked at the roster and said that the Dallas Cowboys should be Super Bowl champs. We watched this team play through the first 7 weeks, and we watched them be balanced on offense, turn the football over defensively, and it was that team that we saw having an opportunity to advance in the playoffs. And so when you get to this point and you fall short again, it's almost devastation. It's almost tragedy that you aren't prepared in that moment. And let's be honest, the first three plays of that drive, we didn't show the Tony Pollard swing pass. They were perfect. They put this team in position to have a chance to win. And to lose it in that moment, which is the moment it always seemed that the Dallas Cowboys have lost games under Mike McCarthy, it is inexcusable. And this team is going to have excuses constantly. Even Jerry Jones said it. First off, the game shouldn't have come down to that play. We shouldn't have had 14 accepted penalties. We shouldn't have had a turnover by Dak that turns into a Deebo Samuel touchdown. So there were all kinds of things that the Dallas Cowboys could have done before this point. But when your quarterback makes $140 million, when your running back makes $90 million, when your wide receiver makes $100 million, when you have an All-Pro and a Hall of Fame tackle, when you have an All-Pro and a Hall of Fame guard, you're supposed to score more than 17 points at home. I don't care who you're playing. If it's not the 85 Bears, if it's not the 2000 Ravens, if it's not the 2008 Pittsburgh Steelers, you're supposed to score more than 17 points at home when you spend that much money and you have that good of players on one side of the ball. I felt like the defense gave this team a chance to win. Not executing, not being disciplined is why they lost. And that, to me, starts with the coaching staff, and Mike McCarthy is supposed to delegate what that coaching staff does.
Rex?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And they did. They came up short. Again, what a surprise. And to me, it's like when expectations are set a certain level. Mm-hmm. And how did Jerry Jones tell you about expectations? He's the guy that's signing the check.
Right.
He gives all that money out. He thinks he's got a Super Bowl team. Super Bowl or bust. You heard it from the man himself. That's why there could be a change.
Eight penalties yesterday for this football team. Eight that either gave San Francisco a first down or took a first down away from them. Yep. That's been the conversation all season. Listen, there's three quarterbacks in the NFL. Hembo just gave this to me. Three guys in the NFL that are $40 million quarterbacks. They're Patrick Mahomes, it's Josh Allen, and it's Dak Prescott. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen went for over 400 yards. They had historically dominant performances in the playoffs. Dak Prescott was average yesterday.
Yeah,
That's where this football team is right now. Coming off a, like RC talked about, a team that had a defensive player of the year candidate, a defensive rookie of the year runaway guy, all the stars on offense. They're the most penalized team in football. They had 14 penalties in a game in the playoffs at home. They scored 17, and their $40 million quarterback wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. That's the questions that they got to answer.
I'm going to pause on that thought briefly. But instead of explaining, instead of talking so much about what they should have done on that last play, coming up next, we're going to show it to you. I'm going to show you exactly what they should have done on that play. So much more on one of the most dramatic finishes we've seen to a playoff game in recent memory. As we roll on, stay with us live as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up, our wake-up call. What a finish. Take a listen.
Two receivers go left, including Tony Pollard. It's a designed run for Dak Prescott. 30, 25, gets hit from behind by Azeez Alshire. They got to get up and clock the ball. 5, 4, 3, 2. Dak, will he get it off in time?
No.
With 1 second to go, did he spike the ball in time or not?
No, he did not.
He did not.
That's the end of the game.
Game is over. The 49ers have won. They're on their way to Lambeau.
Oh, my goodness.
So we've talked repeatedly about how they got that wrong. Dan, let's show everybody how Larry Fitzgerald handled
that. Well, this is a great job, right? The ball's got to come outside in for Larry. Look at how everyone's aware, though. Larry brings the ball and gives it to the center. The center is aware enough in that situation. Officials got to touch the football. So it's phenomenal job by Fitzy being so aware of getting the ball in and then the center knowing I can't be the only person. Look at that center gets the ball and immediately knows officials got to touch it. Okay. So it's not only one person ready, everybody on the offense looks like they've been taught exactly what to do and what's the process to make sure the next snap is legal.
That's the point. And Rex, to make the point again, that this is something that you practice and you work on it with the officials on the field in practice, yes?
Every single day you have officials. I've never done a two-minute situation where I never had officials.
Right.
All right, so every time you give that ball to the official, why? Because he has to spot the ball. He's the only guy that can spot the ball.
Yeah, and if you think about it, it makes sense. In case you're wondering yourself, well, why does the official need to touch the football? Look, if the offensive team can't decide where the line of scrimmage is, official has to do that.
And the truth is, if Dak realizes and gives the ball to the official, or Dak gives the ball to Biotic, the center, and he turns around and gives it to the official, they will get that snap off.
Right.
And I probably think 1 or 2 seconds would be left on the clock. But them both not knowing that the official needed to touch the football and nobody getting set with urgency forces what the situation was, and that's how the clock runs out.
All right, and so then the questions all become about the coach and the coaching future. And let's show you what some of the Twitter reaction to this was yesterday, including our buddy Booger, who was watching and tweeted, "That's not on the refs. The official has to touch the ball before the play can start. Terrible play call." Marcus Spears, who you will see later today on NFL Live. "I'm upset at 14 penalties in an offense that couldn't pee a drop and only ran the ball 16 times with the running backs. Missed me with the ref stuff," he said. "And Damian Woody, I'm sorry, but Mike McCarthy should be fired." So he said aloud what everyone else was thinking. Let's hear from both McCarthy and Jerry Jones after the game.
"Do you have any concerns about your future with this organization?"
"I don't have any concerns. I'm proud to be standing here today. Proud of my football team."
Is there any possibility of you making a coaching change?
I don't even want to discuss anything like that at this particular time. No discussion about anything.
Coming out down 13-0, did this team look unprepared tonight?
Again, I'm not going to discuss coaching, the preparation, any of those things. That's not on the table. The game speaks for itself.
So that was Ed Werder asking those questions. He joined us live about a half hour ago and said it is notable to him that Jerry did not dismiss out of hand the idea of making a coaching change. RC, I guess I want to ask you the question this way. How much of the blame is it fair to put on the head coach yesterday? He's the one who's going to accept a lot of it or going to get a lot of it. How much of it is fair to put on McCarthy?
You know, I think a lot of it's fair to put on Mike McCarthy. And you can look at different points of the season and see where his coaching, where his delegation, where his game management has cost this team games or cost this team opportunities to be better, cost this team opportunities to move forward. Also, this is exactly why seeding is important. The Dallas Cowboys had an opportunity to beat the Arizona Cardinals, and beating the Arizona Cardinals just puts you in a different place or at a different seed coming into the playoffs. Do you think it's a better game to play the Philadelphia Eagles than it was to play the San Francisco 49ers? Hell yeah, it was. And they didn't get those things done. So I think it was critical moments in this season when Mike McCarthy didn't have this team ready to play. Now, is he fully to blame? Absolutely not. When you pay this type of money, when you're set up in the way that the Dallas Cowboys are set up, you can't score 17 points. We've talked about Kellen Moore throughout the season at different points, needing to get Dak Prescott in better position to make plays. We spoke about Dak not being comfortable in the pocket, not using his legs when he have opportunity, a run game with a $90 million quarterback, running back that just isn't functioning. And also defensively, the type of penalties that you get that continue to give the San Francisco 49ers first downs when you had stops, those things are inexcusable. And so do I think Mike McCarthy has to shoulder a lot of this blame? Absolutely. But in the end, players win football games. And these players, whether they were prepared or not, did not execute in critical football moments. And that's the reason the Dallas Cowboys are home.
I also want to ask my coach and my quarterback, and Dan, I'll start with you. At the very beginning of the hour, you heard Mike McCarthy say, well, would you rather run a bunch of Hail Marys, essentially, I'll paraphrase what he said, or have one shot from the 25-yard line, let's say. Which would you rather have? 14 seconds left. They put themselves in a position where they were, if everything went perfectly, they were going to have one shot at it from the 25, as opposed to having two cracks maybe at something from the 40.
I would rather have one shot from the 25-yard line.
So in that regard, that's a good play.
But the risk I take with 14 seconds on the clock is not worth it for me instead of having those two options. If I had 16, Hail Mary-wise, if I had 16 seconds, then I feel good about I want my one crack from the 25-yard line. But with 14 seconds left and the risk that I take in the clock running out, which obviously happens, I would have sat back and said, let's take two shots to the Hail Mary from the 40-yard line. That's what I think is risk analysis-wise.
Yeah, 100% I agree. Look, the line of demarcation is 16 seconds.
Correct.
You're at 14 seconds. And, of course, we'll take one shot from the 25. But we saw right there, you can't execute it.
The risk analysis had to be better.
You can't risk it. And take the thing. And McCarthy in the press conference says from the 50-yard line, you weren't at the 50. You were at the 40. And there's a big difference. So to me, no. I wanted to see them put the ball in the end zone.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there for a second. I have to take a break. We are by no means anywhere close to being done. So much more on this craziest finish of the season. The time runs out on the Cowboys, on Dak, and on company. What does it mean? Plus, we have the rest of the weekend's playoff action to go through and much more. Stay with us. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile.
lift every voice and sing.
He believed in equal rights and in the civil rights movement and everything that it stood for. And he made sure that everybody knew it. He made sure that his family knew. He made sure the whole world knew what his goal was, and he wouldn't stop until his goal was achieved, and he did so.
On this special day in America, we thank you for starting your day with us. Cowboys and 49ers again providing such drama yesterday. If you're just joining us, here's some of the biggest plays in the game, including with a 13-point lead, Jimmy G making the huge mistake.
Yeah, Greeny, this is when the Cowboys had absolutely no life. The pressure forces Jimmy to get out to his right. The receiver's there. He just sails that ball, and the Cowboys, who had no chance, get the ball back. And then third and goal, left side of the offensive line, collapses everything. I like that Dak didn't hesitate in this situation. Turn and ran, touchdown Dallas Cowboys.
And then a thousand things happen, which ultimately lead to this. Last chance Cowboys deep in their own territory with half a minute left. And you see the drama in the building. Their first play was sensational.
Beautiful design. You throw the in route backside, CeeDee Lamb on that hook and ladder, follows it, completion. Then you can come back and get an out route to Dalton Schultz. You're just trying to move the ball downfield to give yourselves a chance at a Hail Mary.
But ultimately, Rex, it all came down to this, and we've talked about it all morning long. They're not able to get the ball.
Yeah, just horrible execution on this play. That should take 16 seconds, not 14.
That's one of the many points we've made here this morning. To run that play so risky with 14 seconds remaining, the official has to spot the football. That's not a new rule. That's something that should have been known by everyone on that Cowboy offense, and it does not appear clear that they did. And that face says it all there. An extraordinary win for Jimmy G's Niners. They're on to Green Bay. The Cowboys are off to a very, very long offseason. And Brian Clark, I had to cut you off there right before we went to a break, and I apologize, but let me come right back to you. But jump back in after that crazy finish there.
Yeah, so I keep listening to Dan and I listen to Rex, and I'm getting text messages on my phone from, you know, Cam Cameron, Raheem Morris, and guys talking to me about that play and the way that you have to prepare, the way that you have to execute. Also seeing Larry Fitzgerald run the ball to the official. And we talk about all the things that need to be practiced here. My question for Dan, my question for Rex is, if you run this play with 14 seconds, should you be ready to run four verticals right now?
Of course.
So, RC, absolutely. The answer is yes. We did it on the touchscreen before. So, we installed it as a 911 call, and the line of demarcation was 3 seconds. Because you know the snap has to take 2 seconds off the clock. So, if you got to the line of scrimmage, and as a quarterback, you realized that clock is not working out the way that you had planned, we would be yelling, 911! 911! Right. And that automatically set everybody, this is the protection. Back, you're going to stay in, and our Hail Mary is on. We called it Mayday as well, but 911 was the situation that everybody knew. Code word, flip from spike to turning it into a Hail Mary.
I want to make sure everyone's clear on the question RC is asking and the answer, Rex. What they're basically saying is, rather than trying to spike the ball in that situation, they should have been running up there to try and run that play then.
Yeah, 100%. And that's when I say, if you're going to spike it, that's why you need the 16 seconds.
Right. Yeah.
Anything short of that, you have to have your play called where now Dak gets the ball and you run your play.
Yeah, or you call two plays in huddle situation.
But that's the issue to me, right? When we can sit here, and obviously we've all been in the heat of the moment. You know, Rex as a coach, Dan as a quarterback, me as a safety. You've all been in the heat of the moment, and that's when you truly have to click in to your training. You know, Dan mentioned not rising to the expectation, but you fall to the level of your training, and that's true. And so Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys as an offense, they should understand that. And so there were so many different situations when you look at the time management or the clock management where they were wrong, right? If everybody knows, or if everyone could tell me on text message or whether it's on TV that you need 16 seconds to run that play, then the play shouldn't have been called in that manner. If Dan can know, with under 4 seconds, you look at the clock, we run Mayday, we run 911, which is four verticals, we understand our protection, that team should know that. But when Dak Prescott stands at the podium and says, we had 4 seconds, we should have been able to run that play, that either tells me, one, they haven't been trained, they haven't been coached, and they haven't been taught that, or two, Dak Prescott totally flipped out and didn't remember that, because he's watching the clock. He's watching the clock. And so if we've gone over this hundreds and hundreds of times, we should go over it where, okay, we get up there, we want to clock it, but we can't because there's 4 seconds. Because there's 3 seconds, we know it's Mayday. Or we should know without 16 seconds, we can't run it. This is an organizational failure. And there's been 100%. Organizational failure for the last quarter century in Dallas. And so you can't just blame this on Mike McCarthy, but there has to come a point where you have to rise to the level of your talent, though. Mm-hmm. And that talent has to execute in critical football moments. And I'm tired of coming on here to talk about Dallas not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, RC, this is kind of like the point that I kind of talked about before. If I'm Jerry Jones, I am paying you, Mike McCarthy, to make sure that everybody is prepared for that moment.
Yes.
And then I'm paying you, Dak Prescott, to be elite in your execution of that moment. So you were asked, I think Greeny asked you, how much blame should the coach shoulder? I look at it almost as like a marriage, essentially.
Right.
100 and 100. It's 100% on the coach,
right,
and it's 100% on the quarterback. Because in that situation, you should be 100% prepared for the worst case scenario. And if it doesn't happen, it's easy. It's easy. And if it does happen, you don't lose the game because of it.
I think fans need to understand, the preparation of this goes to mini camp.
No doubt.
All the way back to mini camp. And then you go over it again in training camp. You do it with videos showing it. And every day you practice a 2-minute, it has the opportunity to show up again. And every week's preparation, you go over these specific things. Last play of the game.
Right.
You go over all of those scenarios.
If the play starts
every
18
single
seconds,
week.
And this is the situation.
And Dana, what they need to understand, it happens on Friday and again on Saturday. And to me, it's like,
no doubt,
it's the fact it never got off is crazy to me.
Cindy, run it one more time, because the one thing, and we'll leave it at this here, Dan's going to diagram it in a minute, but if we watch it one more time, no one is obviously looking to hand the ball to an official. That's the key point to make here, is you look at Dak's going to pick it up, he's going to hand it. No one is looking for an official to hand it to them, and that I think is the most damning thing we see.
And to know where the official is coming from.
Right.
That's part of this, too. That's part of this preparation for your football team, is where is the official going to be coming from to make sure you get him the football? This looks like a high school operation.
Yeah, they look like they're just looking to get it clocked.
Correct.
As quickly as they can and skipping what is obviously the most important step. Okay, Dan is going to – I'm making an executive decision. You did a brilliant diagram at the beginning of our show today of exactly what went wrong there. We're going to do that a little bit later in this hour. But there's one thing we have not even gotten to yet. The 49ers win. We said this was a bad matchup for the Cowboys going in. Now they get that bad man in Aaron Rodgers next week at Lambeau Field. That's a Sunday game. Dan, how do you like this matchup for Rodgers?
It's the worst matchup the Packers could have gotten. It's a bad 7-day stretch for the Packers, knowing that San Francisco comes back, beats the 49ers, then they go on, the Rams, then they go on the road. And truthfully, I know we're talking about the end of the game. They should have hammered Dallas. Just because they kicked field goals is what kept the game close, and then the Jimmy G interception.
Yep.
This is a football team. If you had to sit down, and RC knows this, and write a script of how to beat the Green Bay Packers right now, every detail that would be in on that list is who the San Francisco 49ers are. I think RC phrases them the best. They are, what do you call them, unapologetically themselves? Do they know themselves better than any, right?
Self-aware,
so,
man.
Exactly. So they could run the football. That's the weakness of the Green Bay defense. They got a front that could rush. They got disciplined coverage unit. They got a really speedy, athletic linebacker unit and really good at the defensive tackle. And the last thing I'd say is this. It's the teacher versus the mentor. It's Kyle Shanahan versus Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur knows a lot of what he knows because of learning under Kyle Shanahan.
Let me very quickly correct myself. That game is Saturday night. That's not the Sunday game. Okay. It is the Saturday night primetime game at Lambeau Field. That's going to be cold. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's a bad matchup. And the matchup I look at is schematically also a bad matchup. And what I mean by this, Aaron Rodgers struggles a little bit against this Sting 3 defense, and that's what the 49ers play. And basically what that means, fans, is they're going to insert a safety where Davante Adams is. So he'll always have a seam flat defender or a guy on him and an inserted safety. So it's going to be hard to get the ball to Davante Adams, and they're going to stay on top, not allow Aaron Rodgers to throw it down the field. That's what they'll do defensively. That's why it's a bad matchup. Now, however, two guys that are critical might not play. So in Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, we saw them both leave the game. Right. And those are huge losses for the 49ers if they can't play.
I think we're going to have to get to the point where we stop asking if the San Francisco 49ers are bad matchups for certain teams. You think the Los Angeles Rams want to play the San Francisco 49ers? Hell no. You think the Dallas Cowboys wanted to play them? Hell no. Do the Green Bay Packers want to play them? No. So let's just say they're a good football team. They're a good football team that play a physical brand of football in a time where nobody else does it, and that's why they're hell on wheels to play against.
Here's the only thing I'll say works in Green Bay's favor. It's going to be a Saturday night in January at Lambeau Field. No one's going to feel their toes. So you're not going to have that problem for Aaron Rodgers at all. It is going to be awfully cold. We'll continue with much more on this. Again, I'm going to have Dan diagram for you exactly why the Cowboys ran out of time yesterday. All the things that went wrong. You don't want to miss this. I promise you. Plus, Rex, here we go. Sneaky Hembo is ready for you. Which franchise has beaten the Cowboys the most times in the playoffs? That's the question. The answer is next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You are watching Get Up. We are presented by T-Mobile. And here we go as the Cowboys lose to the 49ers yesterday in extraordinary fashion. Sneaky Hembo for you, Rex. Which franchise has beaten the Cowboys the most times in the playoffs?
Greeny, he's so sneaky. So he wants to bait you with, throws that chum out there with the Niners, right? Nah. So the next thing you think of, well, it's got to be in the division. Giants, Washington football team. But it says playoffs.
Playoffs.
And playoffs, I'm going to say the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, that was so close. The Packers are 4. The Rams are 5. It's the Rams who beat them twice in the 70s.
I'm in a pool of blood right now. my goodness.
They beat them twice in the 70s, twice in the 80s, and then just a few years ago in 2018.
But Jared Goff.
The Packers were 4. And then the Vikings and Niners 3 apiece. Rex, that was close, but not quite there. In the meantime, let me bring RC into the conversation. Rex is about to walk right into the shot. Go ahead, walk through it. Why not? Let's go. RC, it is time to explain your tweets. Yeah. And we'll go through the whole weekend on this. The first one, bro. The Bills are beating the Patriots for the sins of their ancestors. They are cutting the hell up. When it's your turn, it's your turn. RC, explain that tweet.
Listen, the Buffalo Bills have been tired of the New England Patriots stuff for a hell of a long time, and they showed it this week. They were like, you know what? I don't care how bad we're beating you. We're not going to just run the ball. We're not going to kneel on it. We're going to throw bootlegs in the last parts of the fourth quarter. We're going to throw the football to left tackles and extra linemen, and we don't give a dang. We are going to beat the brakes off of you so bad, you will forget your name. You will forget that Tom Brady ever played for this team. And the Buffalo Bills, I ain't mad at you. This ain't Little League. We run the score up when we can.
That was Saturday night's game. Now we go to Saturday afternoon's game and the somewhat infamous inadvertent whistle. RC tweeted, the refs got together and said, say, bruh, that whistle didn't have a dang thing to do with that touchdown, and we down bad for blowing it. Pause. Cincy T.E. RC, explain that tweet.
Hey, Greeny, that's a good pause. Listen, my point is this, bro. This whistle did not stop this touchdown. And why in the hell are you blowing the whistle? Joe Burrow was dang near in the middle of the field when he threw this ball. I don't know if my dog took a deep breath on the sideline and just had the whistle in his mouth, and it was like, and then, because ain't nobody stopped. Wasn't nobody close to the receiver? No way. And then they got probably got together. They watching the video on the screen, and they was like, say, little Wardy, like, that really ain't stopped that play. And if we call this back in Cincinnati, we ain't going to make it out of here. Touchdown.
Very well done. All right, one more, and back to the big play yesterday. Ain't no way. The umpire might be the worst ever, and only Mike McCarthy would allow that to happen. Bro, this is some Jeepers Creepers level of clock management and situational awareness. Worst coach on the team. RC, explain that tweet.
Now, listen, I would like the umpire to be a little more silky, right? Turn to the side, get a little slim in between Dak Prescott and the center. But it ain't his fault, right? He's running up there trying to do his job. And early on in the game, he kind of did the same thing. He stood there and got to delay a game. Mike McCarthy, you know that. You've seen the way that this process works your entire career. So for you to get to this point and do this is inexcusable. And if somebody else did it, I'm not going to lie, somebody that I trusted, somebody that had done a good job of clock management at some point in their tenure in Dallas, I probably wouldn't be so mad. I probably wouldn't think that Mike McCarthy flubbed it up. But when I've seen him do it over and over again, and when Dan, that sweet soul Dan Orlowski, who wants to love everybody and prop everyone up, when he even has to come to me and say, RC, you are right, then I feel vindicated. When my brother sees the light still shines.
That's extremely well done. RC, the best Twitter follower on Sundays and every other day as well. So, again, I made a call here. You opened the show today by literally walking us through all the things that went wrong. This is a play that we're going to be talking about for as long as the National Football League exists. For everyone just joining us, what exactly happened?
All right, so final play of the game. When you're teaching this to your football team, first of all, the 14 seconds is like the absolute max that I can go. I would prefer 16 seconds. 14 is the near-death experience. When you're teaching your football team this, number one, I don't care who the ball carrier is. You have to do a good job of declaring yourself down, giving yourself up. You know, Dak Prescott, I would say, go down right now about that 30-yard line. The 2, 3, 4 yards that you're going to try to go get extra is not worth the another 1 or 2 seconds that you're going to take off the clock. You got to declare yourself down no matter who the ball carrier is. Make sure you save time on the clock. Because, look, there's 10 seconds on the clock right now. By the time Dak Prescott gets up, there's going to be 8 seconds. It wasn't worth that 5 or 6 yards. Number two, you have to get up, whoever has the football, and make sure that you are getting the ball to the official. The official right now is running into the scene, but the center, Biotic, is putting the football down. You have to go Larry Fitzgerald style, run and hand the ball to the official. You don't run and toss the ball to the official. They're 60 years old. It's the heat of the moment. You can't trust them to catch the ball. You hand it to them. Now go back. Third step is this. Everybody's got to do a good job of getting into a legal formation. Watch a guy like 85 Noah Brown or Dalton Schultz. The urgency that they lack shows me no one's prepared for the situation. Look, they're standing around. What are we doing? Oh, now we get going. No one's ready for the situation. And the last part is this. Now, when you get taught this play, the ideal situation is you can get the ball snapped, right? But you're taught quarterback. Worst case scenario, it doesn't go our way. Instead of running down the ball, down the field and going clock, 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 we go 9-1-1, 9-1-1, 9-1-1. I'm changing the play. No longer is it a spike because you know as a quarterback, it takes 2 seconds to get the snap and spike the football. 9-1-1 tells everybody we are not going to do the spike anymore. 9-1-1 is we're going to go Hail Mary. Everyone runs verticals downfield. You don't have enough time to get up there and spike the football. The lack of preparation by everybody on this football team is the reason why this snap never gets off. They were unprepared for the situation, they were unaware of the situation, and they didn't execute the situation. And now the Cowboys are at home wondering, what if?
That's so extremely well done. Again, we opened the show with that today, and I felt like you needed to see it because of all the different things that go wrong. And so, Rex, what's the most important thing to say coming out of that? Beginning with running it with 14 seconds all the way through to the lack of execution, it winds up being the play that kills the season.
Honestly, I think the game and their season ended appropriately. We've seen this throughout the year where clock management was an issue, and it raised its head again.
Yeah, it's just a terrible way for a game to end. And every time I watch it, I see different things. Like, for example, Dalton Schultz is standing there, and he looks like he's looking around saying, are we clocking it or are we running a play?
Right, yeah.
The reason you're saying he's not running there is I think he's trying to figure out which of those two are we doing.
Exactly. And the thing is, when everybody gets urgent and into a legal formation, you usually tell outside receiver, get on the football, right? Outside receiver, you get on the football, so we're legal. Everybody else, you get off the football. And the urgency to do it, that's why I pointed out Dalton Schultz and Noah Brown, 85 and 86, they're kind of walking around like, I wonder what we're doing here.
Right, yeah.
And you would think that if they were taught in that moment, because this is what you get taught in the moment in these meetings, right when that ball carry hits the ground, you sprint to the line of scrimmage. One guy on, you make sure guy on the outside, guy on the outside, you're on the ball. Everybody else just get into a legal formation. Those guys are walking. There's 5 seconds on the clock. They're just walking around. They look so unprepared.
And you see Schultz literally going like this.
Right. Right.
Like, are we spiking it?
Right.
Like, it's the truth.
The lack of the lack of communication.
That was the first time I noticed that as well. As we watch this over and over again, that's the point. As Dan is saying, he's not hustling. It looks like he's asking.
Right.
Like, which one of these are we doing? RC, give us a final thought.
I mean, the final thought is this. The Dallas Cowboys were a team that was unprepared in many situations throughout the season, and that doesn't just change in the postseason. It doesn't just change because it's the playoffs. It's actually harder to execute in those more high intense moments. And the Dallas Cowboys cost themselves an opportunity to move on because they were undisciplined, because they were unprepared, and because they did not execute. And not executing in that moment is inexcusable, and I keep using that word because it is. There is no reason that should happen, and that's why the Dallas Cowboys are home.
That expression that you use with your kids, don't practice it till you get it right?
Don't practice it. No, you practice till you can't get it wrong.
You can't get it
wrong. Not until you get it right.
That's the thing. They probably, I'm sure in practice, they got it right.
Right.
But they weren't prepared to make sure there was no way they could get it wrong.
Right.
We got tennis's first major of the year. It's rolling on down under. Our first round coverage continues tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus, continues on ESPN 2 at 11:30 Eastern. Every point of every match can be seen live on ESPN Plus. All right, the return of Stephen A is coming up. First Take, top of the hour. How about them Cowboys? Molly, Michael Irvin, Stephen A. Don't miss it. Next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is presented by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. And Super Wild Card Weekend wraps up tonight. We save the best for last. We got the Monday Night Football crew ready for ESPN, ABC, and ESPN+. Cardinals and Rams, 8 Eastern tonight. Mega cast coverage includes Peyton and Eli on ESPN2 and ESPN+. Between the Lines on ESPN+, our ESPN Deportes Spanish language version. We got this game covered a million different directions. You're on the Mega cast.
We on right? tonight.
The NFL Live crew
we on
well.
Tonight.
All right.
My guy
all of
too.
Us. Just put the picks up there. We all have the Rams.
Oh,
we've
Lord.
Been all over this game all day long. Danny, we cannot let this day end without your joke.
Matthew, I need you to win tonight. Listen, I was going to do a joke with the Cowboys because of yesterday, but I figured we talked about them enough today. Shout out to Bills Mafia. What did the Buffalo say to his son when he dropped him off at school?
What did the Buffalo say to his son when he dropped him off at school?
Bye, son.
All right, one for one. I got another one.
You better go quick.
What did Tough Guy Pepperoni say?
What did Tough Guy Pepperoni say?
You want a piece of me?
What a great
come on, RC.
Bye, for getting up. See you tomorrow. First Take now.